We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let Jamie Collins walk once he knew he couldn't sign it and got a compensatory pick in 2018. Mm-hmm. But he traded it by the trade deadline to get a compensatory pick in 2017. This wasn't about no picks. This was about sending a message to his team and to his defense. Guys, you're not playing well. I'm not happy with it.
That's Shannon Sharpe. I got to tell you, the funny thing about this, do you guys remember this? That when this happened and he traded Jamie Collins, there were a lot of people that thought that Belichick just couldn't stand Jamie Collins. He was sick of him. You know what he was sick of?
There's a lot of rumors going around.
Right. He was sick of the money and looking at it saying, if this guy is playing right now for a contract, we're not going to be willing to pay him at the end of the season the money he's going to get in the open market. So let's do this. Let's move him right now. We'll take the chance. We've done this before. Midseason, you take a player who's pretty damn good and you move him and it doesn't affect you that much. A lot of guys would not be able to do it. And when they talk about Belichick being able to do this stuff, and you can talk about the legend of Belichick, you know why he can get away with it? Because he's got more security than any person in America right now. Who else has got better job security than Bill Belichick?
I hardly ever agree with Shannon Sharpe. We should make fun of him, but I don't think he's off there at all. You know, I mean, I don't think he...
I don't think he's off either.
No, you get rid of him to send a message to his defense and just to move on from the player and get a pick a year earlier than a year later, and it's no big deal.
Yeah, but I think it was also a matter of if you're playing for yourself right now because you are a free agent at the end of the year, you're playing for yourself, guess what? You're not doing me any good. And by the way, I'm not paying you at the end of the year.
Right.
So they had no intention of paying Jamie Collins at the end of the year. But if he couldn't stand the player... And that's what a lot of people were saying at the time. I remember Lombardi was on our show, and he was kind of ripping him. He's freelancing. He's doing this. And that was a message, obviously, that Lombardi was shedding out there to the world that obviously was coming from conversations with Bill. But if he couldn't stand the player, why does he bring the player back right now? And by the way, he's got the player on a deal that is so freaking cheap, that is a no-risk, high-reward deal. Do you know what the guaranteed money is?
You just said it. Like, I was waiting for you to get to it.
Guaranteed money is $250,000. If Jamie Collins comes in here and wants to freelance again, see ya. Here's the door right over there.
This is basically there's so many times where guys like this is like their audition. Their audition to another, for what, he's going to be 30. I think he is 30 now, Jamie Collins. So you play on this crap deal. You try to convince other people or the Patriots that you're worth maybe another two-year deal with a little bit more guaranteed money. Because after this, you're done. You may leapfrog from team to team, but nobody's going to give you anything long-term. Now, long-term at his age is 2 to 3 years. Three-year deal, 2 years guaranteed, and a third year would be some sort of odd, weird option that they would probably renegotiate.
Got a one-year
deal. So the
deal
would look really big, like financially, money-wise, but in the end, you're really only getting a two-year deal.
So he's playing off of the incentive and motivation of the player. So the player got what he wanted. He went to Cleveland. Cleveland paid him big bucks. What was it, a $55 million deal? And he got, 30 out of that or 35 or something like that. So he gets his money in Cleveland. So he's got money now. He's in good shape. But the question is, what do you want to do with your career? All right? So what's the best place to go where you can fit in, where you know you can play within the system? He comes back here, and Belichick sits there and says, there's no risk. So if he wants to play my system, and we were showing the percentages of what Cleveland played him off the edge and what Belichick played him off the edge when he was a Patriot, and it was day and night, and you keep him away from that edge. So Belichick fits him into a spot and sits there and says, if he doesn't want to play our system, see you later.
But that's what he does with all these guys.
Yes.
I mean, the other day when they got rid of the kid, who was the Ellington?
Yes.
They gave him $25,000. Like, that's what he was guaranteed when they signed.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Now, if you're at Ellington, listen, for like 4 or 5 weeks, what did you do? You went to a couple of OTAs or a couple just team workouts for $25,000? No big deal. So you start bringing in all these guys, you got to look at the guaranteed money. I mean, he could bring in seven players, spread out a guaranteed money of $750,000, $800,000. And if two of them hit, you look like a genius. If the others don't, it doesn't really hurt you.
No.
So the guaranteed cash, I was looking at the kid. So Austin Seferian Jenkins, I think the guaranteed money is 50 grand. I'd be shocked if he's on this football team. Because you know why? Because Matt Lacoste, 500. 500,000.
So Christian,
yeah, but
Christian,
I would say, I would also say that that doesn't necessarily matter either.
No, it doesn't, but what does 50 grand tell you?
Well, I know, but well, obviously, he's at the most risk, but I remember Clay Harbor was a guy they gave a bunch of money to, and they cut him. So, and I remember sitting there saying the same thing. There's no way, well, this guy's safe. Even if he kind of stumbles out of the gate, they paid him so much money. It's almost like they just move that money and they get it somewhere else. If they overpaid this guy, they end up getting some sort of production out of somebody else who they didn't pay. So in the end, if you calc it all out, they're even. They break even. They didn't overpay. They didn't underpay anybody. It just ends up working out for them in the end because of all the pieces that they move around. But I asked you guys this. I was told you guys this the other day. I just saw this on ESPN. They are listing the Dallas Cowboys linebackers who are freaking pretty damn good with Jalen Smith, Sean Lee, and Vander Esch, the guy out of Boise State, who was a rookie with a big neck roll. I call him neck roll.
Right. Who was that?
And he played a lot with Sean Lee Hurt last year, so he got an opportunity to play a lot.
But you sit there and you look at like top depth chart and top core units, linebacker
they're
units.
Different.
That's
they're
one
young.
Of them.
They're young and impressive.
Yeah, yes. That's one of them. But this Van Noy, Kyle Van Noy, and Dante Hightower, and Jamie Collins.
And we'll see what Bentley looks like.
Is just pretty damn impressive also.
Bentley and Landon Roberts has a role.
As a guy that can stop the run. But, and look at this a year ago. We were looking at that as a weak part.
It's one
of
their strengths
team.
Defensively.
Now it is.
In the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean,
the secondary was.
Defensive line. It comes down to defensive line. Tackles, edge rushers, guys like that, right?
And with Bennett here now, who knows what that's going to look like. But, you know, because you mentioned this to me. I didn't hear this. Jason Witten, who's obviously left the booth and going back into playing, not coaching. He's going to actually play. Said this was the best Dallas Cowboys team that he's ever seen.
Showed up for OTAs. He did.
He said, okay, so on paper, again, right? So, and he would know because he obviously called the games. He was there. Obviously, a couple years ago, left for 1 year, came back, and the team got better.
Says they're loaded with talent. Loaded with talent. But I laugh at this whole Jamie Collins deal because, so Jamie Collins wanted to go his own way.
What do you laugh about it? What do you mean?
Well,
he got paid. He got what he wanted.
Right, because I think what happened is, so they got something out of Jamie Collins on a cheap contract. Jamie Collins did not want to do what they want to do. And we constantly hear about this. New England doesn't have these marquee name players on the defense, yet the defense gets better and better as the season progresses on, and usually because each guy has a role, a space in which he's supposed to occupy. So then he doesn't want to be part of it. He goes and he gets all of his money from Cleveland. Then he comes back to New England on a cheap contract, and my guess is that Jamie Collins will be pretty good this season. Is that fair to
say? To me, he's no different than Deion Branch.
Yes. Right.
Other guys that had left.
Patrick Chung,
who they loved, and they didn't want to pay him, and he came back, and, you know, things were great. I would say other guys that left that didn't have an opportunity to come back, like Richard Seymour comes to mind, obviously, but they do this all the time.
All the time. All the time, and they think there's probably it's a quick learning curve.
But you know what,
would
but,
you say that for these guys to come back?
Glenn, why would you want to come back? There's no fun here. They don't have any fun. There's no fun.
Thank you, Lane.
They don't do anything. It's just all work, and Bill just yells at everybody. Why would you want to come back?
Isn't it amazing?
So then you're going to come back for no money?
So when you look at
But you come back, if you're Jamie Collins, you talk about the time you spent like on the edge compared to here in Cleveland, and it's one of those things where, listen, okay, I made my money. I got my signing bonus. I didn't get all of it, but nobody really does. And they kept putting me in the edge. That's just not me. Or Chung, they kept having me do this. That's just not me. Coverage. You know, I want tight ends. I want to be that hybrid linebacker. I'm going to go back to New England. I've made some money. I'm going to go back there because I know they're going to use me the right way. And I'm going to be successful.
What was the signing bonus in Cleveland? The signing bonus coming back to New England is $150,000. What was his signing bonus in Cleveland?
It's almost
15,
like
18, 20
it's
million.
It's almost like,
right?
You know, they get him to sign and Bill walks out of the room and is like,
okay.
Got another one.
Yeah.
Got another one. That'll teach you. I'll get you in the end. In the end, don't burn that bridge.
It is amazing because you're right. And you go back to the early days of Belichick, and he was even bringing in, you know, the Jets players and players that he had coached elsewhere. And he's notorious for doing this.
I can remember in 1987.
But other teams end up paying The contract, paying the big money.
4 years, $50 million, $26 million guaranteed. That's what he got in Cleveland. So, okay, whatever. Yeah, it didn't work. I got my cash. Now let's go back there. Play me where you want. And okay, I won't freelance. I'll do what you want because I've already got my cash.
But you know, but here's and guess what? Here's the thing that, sorry, Glenn, but it's this, you're dealing with the fear aspect now as a player. Like before, when you make that money, you got that guaranteed money. The fear aspect doesn't matter because screw you. What am I afraid of? I got my money, and if you want to sit there and challenge me, it will sometimes, if I got the right personality, I'll accept it. But if I'm kind of pissed off and I think you're using me the wrong way, I'm kind of act out. And I'm not afraid of you because I got my money. Now, you should get you should get first and second year Jamie Collins.
Yeah, that's right.
First and second year. That would be the goal. And if you don't, so what? Okay, well, thanks. We still love you, but I mean,
see ya.
You're not going to get a red jacket.
Good pick. I think Oakland's got an opening.
Yeah, go over there.
Go
yeah,
check
but Oakland
them out.
Only wants people who are 6'8 and 500 pounds.
Right.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Exactly, Bill. This is Mike in Framingham. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mike.
It wasn't like Jamie Collins got cut. The Patriots didn't want to meet his price. So this stuff about him freelancing, if he was freelancing, why'd he get so much money? And Christian stole my thunder, too. There were a bunch of players they didn't want to pay, and then they left, and then they came back at a reduced price. So it's not like the Patriots didn't want those players. They didn't want them at the price the players wanted.
I disagree. He got cut. He got traded to Cleveland. Screw it. I'm not going to sit around here and not sign this guy and get a compensatory pick in a couple of years. I'm going to get it right now. I don't want this guy around. Why do you think they traded him during the season?
So if he wanted less money, they would have got rid of him?
Why would he want less money? What makes you think he was going to get less? Why did they trade him in the middle of the season, Mike?
Because he was fighting to get, they knew he was going to get more money, so they wanted to get something for him.
Rather than keep him for the rest of the year, help him try to win, and then just get the exact same pick a year later? They would have got the same pick they got.
No, Mike,
they wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted out. He wasn't doing what they wanted him to do.
Now, Mike, I think it's twofold. I think during the course of the season, he was freelancing, okay? And they're sitting there going, he's doing this because he wants to impress other teams to get more money in free agency. And we're not paying him at the end of the year, so why do we want to give him an audition now for the next 8 or 9 or 10 games? And that's why they get rid of him. I think Lou's right, though. Why do you want to have him continue to freelance and screw up your defense?
So what's to say he doesn't do it again?
This time around? Because there's no motivation. There's no motivation to do that. He got his money. Where's the motivation?
Who just wants money once? You want money all the time. And that's why you have guys like Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and stuff. They just want money once. But Mike,
he's got to earn it this year. It's a different story. The contract conditions are not the same. He's not going to go out as a free agent at age 31 and get a guaranteed contract of $25 million bucks. No way. He's 30 years old.
What, here soon?
He got his money. He got his big paycheck. And now what he's doing is he's trying to come back, earn an opportunity to maybe extend his career for, let's say, 3 years, right? It's a one-year deal, but he could extend it here in New England if he plays well, plays within the system. Or if another team looks at him, maybe he can make the same amount of money that he's making right now. But his days are over of getting that big, huge contract like that.
I agree.
That's crazy. All right, we're going to come back. We've got something with the NFL. The NFL, we were talking yesterday about the NHL, and they changed the rules right in the middle of playoffs. They've done this in the past. The NFL has got a few months to go, but apparently they're already talking about changing a rule. This makes no sense to me, but we shall get into it. Plus, I'll tell you the most overblown, idiotic take of the week. And there were a bunch of people that latched onto it. It could be.
That should be your segment.
That could be yours.
Yeah, you can own that.
I'm good. I'm really good, guys. I'm really good.
That's too much work for him.
Exactly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Drop it, Buster.
Get into the weeds of going back and reviewing pass interference calls. Is that the way to fix this? Is this something that we should do?
So Canada last year,
In last year, they had 42 of the 71 challenges for pass interference were overturned. Hey, coaches, you get a one-time challenge. Pass interference, one time. Now, if you want to be like Andy Reid and use it in the first quarter on a 12-yard game, then that's your own stupid fault. You go ahead and do it, right? Pass interference can be challenged as part of your challenges. That's really not that hard, right?
Wow, man. He hates Andy Reid.
Yeah, he does. Wow. Something about that. There's got to be some past, right?
There's got to be something.
Andy Reid.
Every time he gets an opportunity to... Didn't he also give that quote about the buffet line, like, get out of the buffet line, stop being fat, stop eating?
Exactly. Next time Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eat fast.
That's him. What's his problem?
Everybody seems to like Andy Reid.
Killing him.
I mean, he's a little shaky in the clock in the last couple of minutes. I'll give you that. But
There's got to be an untold story.
There's a lot worse head coaches in the league than Andy Reid. I'll tell you that much.
I would say Andy's top five best coaches in the league. So,
and if Andy would read gridiron, I think he would be a better coach.
Oh, there it is.
Wow. Ryan, I want you to remember this, because this is the first question we're going to ask him. What's his issue? What's his problem
with Andy Reid?
Like, what did Andy Reid do to you?
What's your problem, Mike?
I mean, he's been a head coach in the league like forever.
You know what we should do? We should call Andy Reid, see if we can get him to say something about Lombardi.
Oh, I like it. If Andy would read gridiron, I think he would be a better coach.
So, Fourier, they want to change a rule that they've already established as a rule, and the season is going to begin in September.
So what are we doing here? So the rule approved in March allowed coaches to challenge pass interference throughout the game, except for the final 2 minutes of each half.
Okay.
And what's the final two minutes, as is the case with the other replay review, it's all the same. The refs are in charge of that. New York is in charge of that. What they're saying is, okay, why would we still allow this to be in the hands of the refs? This should be the coach's decision. So it's the offseason. Teams are having OTAs. Refs are traveling around the country, checking out teams, asking questions. So they want to change it to where the refs don't have control of it. It's still the coaches.
Do the coaches get extra challenge?
Well, I mean, that's going to be decided because they have this meeting again.
See,
I don't know if I want that.
I don't know if I want the extra challenge. Why?
Well,
Maybe you do it this way. In the last 2 minutes, I wouldn't take it away from the officials. But if an official is not giving you the opportunity to challenge, and as a coach, you still have a challenge remaining in your pocket, maybe you can use it and exercise it in the last 2 minutes. Maybe you do that.
Listen, you got a replay guy back in the booth watching the game, right? Back in New York, wherever the hell it is. What's wrong with the college thing? Buzz down. Got this one wrong.
I like that. But the coaches sound to me like they're paranoid.
No, they think
they're going to get screwed, right?
No, but also it's like the coach determines the tempo of the game. Let's just say who knows what happens. Maybe they don't want to review it. Maybe there's a schematic advantage to them, you know, not doing it. Who the hell knows? And also, maybe their standards are different than the refs. And maybe they just don't want the flow of the game slowed down as they sit here and dissect what the hell just happened. I think that if they're going to do it, still, let the coaches, because if the coaches make the wrong decision, like Michael Lombardi talks about Andy Reid, it's their fault. Hey, they didn't even challenge it. We gave them the opportunity. They didn't think they could win. Okay, are you going to change the actual way you call pass interference? What are we talking about? But I think that's the way they should do it. Let the coaches decide. Whether it's 2 minutes in the first half or 2 minutes left in the game, the coaches should be able to do it. Now, I don't know if you end up, you know, giving them an extra challenge or you keep the same amount of challenges. They still need to ration them.
Well, now you got to hold on to stuff. So now you're talking about the final minutes of the game. If you don't have a timeout, you can't challenge, right?
Right.
If you used all your challenges, you can't challenge. So even what happened in New Orleans, if Peyton, and I don't remember if he had a timeout left, but if he didn't, because there was seconds to go in that game, right? Or a minute to go with the game, whatever, because they came right down and kicked the field goal to tie it. I don't know. You wouldn't have been able to challenge them.
Yeah, because the ref still would have got it wrong. And if they vote for this, then it takes it out of the referee's hands to go to New York. You said you guys wanted to call it. You wanted to take us out of it. You didn't have any timeouts left. The refs missed one of the worst calls in the history, non-calls in the history of the NFL, and you're blaming us.
You follow this thing called college football.
I do every now and then. Not as much as I used to.
How does it, if you got the call wrong, we buzz you down and we look at it?
Yeah, but
stop the game. We gotta check this one out. Look at it. You guys got it wrong. Let's review.
I don't know if it's that easy. I still think there is. I actually don't remember.
He hasn't been following it.
It's been
as
like a year and a half. It's been almost 2 years since I actually gave a crap about college football.
Okay, thanks.
But that does seem like if there, I would even say even with the hockey, even with St. Louis and San Jose, everybody knew that they messed up. So why don't you just have this, I don't know, break glass in case of emergency rule?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They will. They'll change that.
You get a buzz.
I know you guys don't have me, but this is. But then you said, well, don't ask to change the rules. This is the way you want it. Then you don't get a safety net. Either you live by the rules that you want, and then if the refs miss it, the refs miss it.
See, I think that's dangerous for the coach if we're talking about the last 2 minutes, because you brought up you need to have a timeout. It's more likely that in the last 2 minutes of a game, you don't have any more timeouts, right?
Yeah, it's a good chance.
Right. So it I think that takes away, if I'm a coach, that takes away an option to review a play, to challenge a play. I don't want that unless they're going to give me an extra challenge. But if I don't have the timeout, what good is having that extra challenge? It's useless. I'm not sure that's a good rule. I'm not sure if I'm a coach. I want to go along with that.
I would still, I mean, I guess, and also, if you say, okay, forget it, you guys do it, what if they miss it again? I mean, there's so many different situations, and you can't obviously prep for every single one. I don't care how many times you go over it, and how many times you have multiple eyes looking at it, and all these different scenarios, there's always going to be some sort of situation that comes up that you didn't prepare for.
Right, and that's what changes rules. We've already seen that. We're going to have to see that. So what we saw in New Orleans is forcing them to change a rule. The NHL the other night, the fact that four officials on the ice didn't see the hand pass, guess what? They're going to change the rules now where that is reviewable. Because, oh my God, we didn't see this. We didn't anticipate this was going to happen.
See, because you want to get it right, but at the same time, you don't want to slow the game down, and you don't want to miss anything. So what's the most important aspect? Like, what's the most important thing
do a quick
to keep
challenge.
The game so, relevant?
They can do challenges. They can review. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people the last couple of days. Get rid of the video replay. Let's go back to the old days.
No, unfortunately, now that you have it, you got to expand it.
You have to expand it, and you have to make the process a lot quicker. If it isn't obvious, you're not going to sit there for 12 minutes doing a stop frame, you know, to break it down. Okay? It's not obvious. Move on.
I believe that each ref should have like a producer / ref in their ear.
Now they got to spend more money.
No, well, okay, listen, because
a producer?
We don't
not that much.
Well, whatever. Somebody who's watching the game that can say, "Hey, you guys missed this," because we watch it on TV and we see it. Oh my God, they missed the call.
Yeah, we see a lot of cameras, times more than the official.
And the refs don't. So hey, Glenn, you missed this call. Call a timeout. Get in a circle. Move your hands around, and then act like you're talking about something. And I'm going to give you the answer.
Who you say is missing a call?
Yeah. Okay.
What are you
and that's what
about?
You do.
Yeah. What are you talking
and that,
about?
And that way, and you, know, hey, you know what? You don't even need to tell anybody. Nobody needs to know that somebody's feeding you the answers. Don't lose sleep over it. It's not a pride thing. We still love you, but you're human.
No, just pick up.
So get it right.
No, the way you make it too is everybody just kind of gets together. We see it all the time.
Hey,
you just see it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, even in baseball, right? There's a questionable call, and you call the other three umpires over. So you walk to each other. While you're walking, someone's like, safe.
Yeah.
Seen it four times already.
Yeah.
The guy's safe. You missed it. You get together, and obviously you come out, you're like, safe. And they're like, what happened? They told us. They saw the reason. It's safe.
Well, the other thing, too,
you're
is
talking
that,
about.
Yeah, that's
bring the ref, bring the ref umpires
no, but
together.
That's not in the rules.
You're
that's
seeing
not
it.
The rules.
Whatever. I got the call right. Sit down.
The play of the end of the game at Golden State and Portland the other night. And Lillard is looking up at the scoreboard, trying to figure out whether that was a foul by Iguodala. They're all seeing it instantly right now.
Right.
Everybody's seeing it. And so why would the officials just ignore having another opportunity to see that? There's another tight end that just got released that's available for your New England Patriots.
Who is it?
It is not Kyle Rudolph.
No?
It is not.
Damn.
Texans have released veteran tight end Ryan Griffin. It was apparently a problem with Ryan. I don't know if you remember this.
No.
Yeah, last month he was in Nashville. He was down. He was the guy during the draft that apparently punched the hotel window.
Wait,
did
during?
What?
During the draft, yeah.
What did he punch a window for?
I think he was bleep faced. Yeah,
right,
I think a lot of alcohol.
That guy looks like me. I'm gonna knock him
out. I'll start with this.
Why are you giving me that stupid look, you stupid jerk? You're not better than me.
Well, so I'll start with this. You don't release a guy because he punched a window. You release him because he punched a woman.
Did he punch a woman too?
Did No, but I'm just saying. Like, I don't think that's
maybe there was
the
a woman on the other side of the glass.
Do you even consider that trouble?
Talking crap.
Like in sports, do you even consider that trouble? Hold on. One of our players got drunk and punched a window. That's it. I can't have him around. Our fan base will turn on us.
He's violent.
That's not even suspendable in this league.
What are we gonna do?
So I mean, they just released him. I don't know how much money he's making. That's got nothing to do with it, right? Probably because he sucks.
But he's somewhat of a local kid.
Is
somewhat.
He?
Went to UConn.
He's from Lunderberry, New Hampshire.
Oh, there you go.
So he's one of us, right? That counts.
What do you think?
New England?
$25,000 guaranteed.
Hey, listen, we will give you, wait for it, $10,000.
$10,000. Phil is sitting there like that Scrooge guy, that Monopoly guy.
Exactly.
He's got the cash. He's going, $25,000 for you.
Yeah.
We'll give you $15,000.
Yeah. We're also going to, I'm going to give you.
Going to catch your ass in about 3 weeks.
I'm going to give you a lump of coal also to keep you warm during the winter. Okay? And these gloves are really cool.
In
the meantime, the Jets just gave $40 million to Le'Veon Bell and CJ Mosley, and the coach can't stand either one of them. The coach that has to coach them this season wants nothing to do with them. I don't. I know you probably sit there going, "Oh, he's kissing Belichick's ass again."
No. Gase says that they've been in constant contact.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We're on the same page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Constant contact. Yeah. We're ready to go.
Thanks, Glenn.
This Jets thing is going to be
fun to watch.
It's going to be fun to watch. All right, 617-779-7937. We've got the big Milton's promotion where you can set up your entire wedding party with all the suits and the tuxes, and you can have a little bachelor party over at Fenway Park in a luxury suite. You want to pay attention because we got the code word coming up next. Don't go away.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here at own 617-779-7937. So during the break, Christian says to us, he goes, "You guys got to see this. Have you seen the photo that's going viral out there with A-Rod taking taking a dump?" And so I just looked it up, but it's bigger than you think. I'm going to read
the
headline from the New York Post. Alex Rodriguez's viral toilet pic could land hedge fund in hot water. This has become like a big, huge deal. There's a rogue photo doing the rounds of Alex Rodriguez sitting on the can, shot through the window of his luxury New York City pad. And now his legal team is urgently trying to flush out the photographer, who was likely at a Manhattan hedge fund next door. A-Rod apparently likes to linger on the lavatory at his Park Avenue apartment without closing the blinds. Okay. And the former Yankee slugger was caught with his pants down on the throne by a photographer who was privy to a clear view from the adjacent building. The photo, which was seen by Page Six of the New York Post, but which we won't publish for privacy reasons.
Oh, wait, what? You don't have it?
No, the New York Post won't publish it, but you can get it. You're right. You can get it here.
Do you see it?
In the background, a crisp white bathrobe can be seen hanging next to a glass encased shower. It's so well written.
Soft along with a baby poop
towel monogrammed with the letter A.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Of course, what a dope.
He shares the $17.5 million apartment with, of course, Jennifer Lopez, yada, yada, yada. Well, what's the whole story here? Alex's lawyers are all over this. They're working hard to find out who the culprit is. It's a clear breach of privacy. The photo was obviously taken from the building next door from a floor possibly parallel to Alex's apartment. One of the hedge funds in the building next door is getting a big lawsuit. He's apparently ready to sue. The neighbor next door is a big hedge fund guy.
Hold on a second. You've been to New York. You stayed in those hotels.
Philip Falcone's Harbinger Group. Yeah, it's a big group.
So what? Dude, you're in New York City.
Right.
You have a window of the size of this building. Get some like drapes or maybe those windows that change.
Some people like it.
There's a guy that likes attention. He's always liked attention.
He's doing it
but there is a huge difference between like looking in, going, "Oh my God, look! I can see people having sex," or a guy taking a dump across the way and taking out a camera and videoing it or taking photos of it.
Listen, if you're dumb enough to take a dump, okay, in New York City with a building which is maybe 50 feet away from you, and you have this $17 million apartment.
What are you saying?
You're 17 telling and a half. You don't have some sort of like dark shades or some high-end windows that turn dark if you just touch it? Give me a break. Sure. What I want to know, does he go front to back or back to front?
He likes it.
Give me some info. That's what I want to know.
He likes it. It's a guy that always liked
attention. He's sitting down. Was he peeing or was he pooping? Let's really figure it out here.
Here's the biggest problem when you try to. We got it all.
What did you want?
An answer? One or two?
Tells you a lot about Alex.
So this
Rodriguez.
Is the best. If you do a Google search about A-Rod taking a dump, here's what comes up. Jennifer Lopez's friends want her to dump Alex Rodriguez. That's just the first thing that pops up.
I saw just a video of him on just with J-Lo in the background doing his little dance thing. She's got a little video coming up or something, or tour. And he was just sitting there, you know, watching it the whole thing. But I didn't see this photo yet.
This cracked me up.
But anybody that does something like this, he likes it, right? I mean, he wants to. He's showing off a little.
When I tell you the window is this wall right here,
yes.
Blue. It's as big as that wall. It's huge, and the bathroom is huge. And he's just sitting there, like all of us. When I go to the bathroom, I take my phone with me. It's me time. You know, that was one of your topics that lost me time. Okay, actually it won because I wasn't here. Me time. So I'm sitting there, and that's why I do most of my work. And I stay there longer than I should because it's comfortable and it's warm and, you know, I don't get bothered.
I told you, it's me time, the bathroom, yes.
It's like a comfort, Doug.
It's a comfort place for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel good there.
Yeah, I do. And
do you
I
have
know,
nice wallpaper on the walls to soothe you?
I know, but I do have special toilet paper that I insist on.
Really?
I have a system.
Oh, good.
There's the baby wipes and there's the high-end toilet paper. There's a process to it. And there's like, you know, first step, second step.
Yeah,
repeat the second step.
Really? There's some things we don't need to know about you. Really?
When it ends, it's painful.
Good football player. And we.
But I would say something like this with A-Rod at this point in time, it doesn't even matter.
No, it
I feel
doesn't.
Like he's Teflon. Nothing can... He's safe now.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Everybody likes him now.
Look
no big
at me.
Deal.
I got to be with J-Lo in the background.
Now people are like, A-Rod should sue.
Yeah.
Now they're on A-Rod's side.
Yeah. Go get him, A-Rod. That's your privacy, man.
4 years ago, like, this freaking turd.
Everybody
he's got mirrors
this
everywhere
guy.
Staring at himself. Now everybody loves him.
See, I don't even think he's likable on the broadcast anymore. I like that other broadcast. The other broadcast
Fox?
Is much better. No,
Boog.
with Boog and,
oh,
and,
oh, I thought you meant when he first
no,
came
I
out.
No, I think the other broadcast is better.
Yep.
Well, you know what it is.
Their other broadcast crew, the same network, ESPN's broadcast, the other group is better. The B team is better than the A team.
Your Pokemon collection. Can we get into that?
Is that the serious group? That's the
No, the B group is fun.
It's the professional group.
I think they're professional.
It's a real group.
Yeah.
Right?
The people that actually are good at their jobs and aren't just whatever. That's why they got their jobs.
So the Mendoza group is the politically correct group.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Okay. We got
that's why they're the A team.
Yes.
Okay.
And the B team makes fun of other people and themselves.
Wow.
They do. They laugh kinda at themselves.
Kinda sounds like us.
Kind of weird.
When you laugh at yourself.
It's strange when it works that way.
I like that. Okay.
When you tell, you know, stupid-ass toilet stories, you know, you laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
You do that. Carl's in Connecticut. Hello, Carl.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Carl.
What's up?
As riveting as it is to hear about Christian and his pooping experience and A-Rod, I think we move on here.
Yeah, okay. Nothing better than toilet habit talk.
Well, it depends on your perspective. But anyway, so I got a couple of points on the instant replay here. So let me make sure I can get my second point before I get cut off here.
Good luck.
I'm going to start with number one. So right now, the way it's set up is the referees, the only reviewable on a scoring play is if the referees call a touchdown, right?
Correct.
So if there's any debate about whether or not the guy, you know, got in the end zone and got a touchdown, you can't review it unless you throw a flag. So here's what I suggest. Rather than make the teams burn a challenge of whether or not a player scored, I would just say only scoring plays are reviewable, just like they are now. However, The referees are trained, if it's close in any way, shape, or form, to call a touchdown, and therefore it can be reviewed and be, you know, brought back to where it should have been if it wasn't a touchdown, or be declared a touchdown. That way the offense doesn't have to burn a challenge.
Same with turnovers. Let it play out, call the turnover, let them review it. Yep.
Exactly. So if it's close, it's a touchdown, okay, now we can review it.
Yeah.
So that would be one solution. But anyway, so I want to get to my second point, which is the bigger thing.
Okay, good.
Okay, so here's what you
Jesus
do.
Jesus Christ, what are we doing here, Carl?
Hurry up, Carl. Go.
Carl, come on, dude. It's Friday.
I am.
Hey, you sound like Steve Burton.
I am.
Every team gets three challenges to be used whenever and for whatever they want. Take it out of the referee's hands in the last 2 minutes. You get three challenges, you use it whenever you want.
Okay. We're going to end it right there because that makes some sense. Makes some sense. If you're going to take away the challenge at the last 2 minutes, you can't keep the same number of timeout challenges for the coaches, because it's even going to be more problematic, because in the last 2 minutes, they're probably not going to have timeouts. All right? So we'll go along with it. I like that. All right. Can I give you the biggest, dumbest sports take we've heard this week?
Yeah, you've been teeing this up and teasing it for a while.
It's unbelievable how people now... And this is part of sports talk today, and I'm going to sound like the old man again, you know, get off my lawn guy.
Come on.
Yeah, well, in this day and age with sports talk radio,
okay,
all you have to do is come up with a take. You don't have to have anything that makes any sense. It could be the dumbest thing in the world. It's like sitting there going, the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah, he exists, right? Do you have some evidence? Bigfoot. No, you don't have any evidence, but you don't need any. And then you just start yelling and screaming.
Just make a case.
And make a case, right? But people are not making cases now. They're just throwing crap out there.
What do you mean?
So here's the one that I heard this week, and it was all over the internet. And the guys right across the street that are going opposite us, Tony Mass, threw this one out there. The NBA draft lottery is rigged.
Rigged.
Might be the dumbest thing, the most ridiculous take you could ever come up with.
Isn't that easily debated? I mean, debated? You could just squash that in a matter
debunked,
of
well, killed. 10,
5 seconds?
You tell me, Lou.
So debunked. Let me ask you this. And the reason they claim it's the case is they say that these small markets were the ones that got the top picks in New Orleans and Memphis. What do you think they would have said if the Lakers and the Knicks ended up 1-2? 2-1.
Well, that's the point.
They would have said the exact same thing.
The point is if the Knicks got one or the Lakers... Right? You'd say, okay, well, they're going to get Anthony Davis. You want him to go to L.A. or New York, then it's fixed. But New Orleans got one.
Memphis got number two.
Memphis got
two. Smallest TV markets in the league.
So I'm just saying, like, isn't it, like I said, that you might think it going in. You might have concerns going in that something weird's going to happen. That, you know, the Knicks will get one or the Lakers are going to get one. Or they're going to jump, whatever. But the way it played out, aren't you sitting there saying, well, obviously it's not?
There's no logic reasoning to any of this, Lou, because you can look at it and say, I can understand you trying to make the argument if by chance, and I truly believe this is all by chance and it's not rigged in any way, because it couldn't be, and I'll get to that in a second. Wouldn't you think that New York would get them? Why did New York and Chicago get stiffed? Now, you can look at L.A. and say L.A. went from 11 to 4, but it's 4.
Didn't
it's
really
not
help
number
them.
1.
Yeah. Didn't help
okay?
You got
to
go all in.
And you stiffed... So you stiffed the number one market and the number three TV market. And do you think if the NBA was going to do something to rig this thing, they would say, New York has been irrelevant, the Knicks, since 1973. Can we get them back in the mix? And how about Chicago? Since Jordan has been gone, that's the number three media market in the country.
Can we
help Chicago out a little bit? Instead, you screw the Knicks and you screw the Bulls in Chicago.
But I wouldn't even,
doesn't make any sense.
I wouldn't even say, and you did, you make no mistake, you screwed the Knicks.
Yes.
Now, if the Knicks ended up with number one, I don't even know if you still don't know if you could sit there and say it was fixed. They're the worst wreck in the league. They had a pretty good chance. You know what I mean? If the Knicks were like 11.
Yes.
And they got number one, you'd say, okay, what the hell is that?
I hate to tell people, Lou, I think all of this is by chance. So here's what you do. 45 minutes before they announce it on TV, and this came after they did the cards, and everybody thought the frozen cards. Remember that with Patrick Ewing? Oh, it was cold, and he touched it. So now they do it where they protect it so nobody can rig it, and they do it in a separate room. But guess what? Each team has a representative in that other room. So they're watching the ping pong balls. On top of that, there are 15 members of the media who are watching all of this. And oh yeah, on top of that, they hire Ernst & Young, which is an accounting firm. You know what their job is? They are hired to make sure they verify the authenticity of the actual process so that it's not rigged. Interesting premise. You go and you hire this famous accounting firm that is worth billions and billions of dollars, and their job is to verify the authenticity of the process. Now, what would happen if Tony Maz or these other knuckleheads out there who think this whole thing were rigged, what happens if it were rigged? What do you think would happen to Ernst & Young, a major accounting firm in this country of ours that is worth billions and billions of dollars? I would say, poof, goodbye, see your business. So why would Ernst & Young sit there and work behind closed doors with the NBA? Hey, you want to fix this? We'll fix this. You're not in some corner in Revere, you know, trying to work out some deal for a watch.
Well,
it's a Rolex. Sure it is. This is a big-time NBA.
It
would destroy it, and Ernst & Young would get destroyed. This is the dumbest take ever. Stupid.
So the Lakers went from 11 to 4. No big deal. I mean, it's better, obviously, but it doesn't really give them the levers that they really need.
The Lakers were better.
No. Right? But I will say this. Back in my old days, back when, getting a good grade was harder to come by than it was studying, and every now and then we'd get the answers to the test. And I would never answer every question correctly. I would make sure I missed at least five or six.
So you didn't want to make it too obvious.
I didn't want to make it too obvious. So, I mean, listen, they go from 11 to 4. Hey, we did you about as much of a favor as we could. Maybe that's it.
That 48 kid is a genius.
This is the one I...
He's not too smart.
The Washington Post kind of dismissed all of this as well, because there are a bunch of people that are writing, because it's a great take. It's stupid. It's idiotic. You don't have to have anything to support it. You say, I think it's fixed. And yet the same people are doing these mock things where they push a button and it's all coming up with different teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, but I don't know how those teams came up the way they came up. What are you talking about? Push the button and do this the simulation, and you'll find that every time you do it, a different team pops up there. So the only thing they could do differently would be to actually have what goes on in the room with the ping pong balls, but it's boring. The way it's done, it's not a good TV show, and that's why they do it privately, and then they come out and they put the fake TV show on.
They do it in a closet, or they're actual witnesses?
They're witnesses. I just told you. There are tons of witnesses. They have, each team has their own witness, and there are media people and whatever. But even if they did that, I guarantee you they would sit there and say, I know what happened. Somebody stuck an extra little weight, a little extra something on one of those ping pong balls.
By the way, I know, not related to the Celtics, but Tyreke Evans? He's a free agent in Indiana?
Yes.
Okay, so he's a free agent now. Whatever. Was in Indiana last year. Just saw this tweet. Apparently, the NBA announced today, and I love the language here, that Tyreke Evans has been dismissed and disqualified from the league.
What?
Dismissed and disqualified.
For violating the anti-drug program.
Uh-oh.
Disqualified from the league. He is eligible to apply for reinstatement in 2 years.
2 years?
2 years.
Oh, my God.
He's been dismissed and disqualified for the league and can apply for reinstatement.
What are they saying he did?
In 2 years.
Did they list what he did?
I don't know. Was he the head of, the biggest drug? I have 2 years?
That is unbelievable.
He's 29 years old now. He'll be 30 next year.
And I don't think he has any kind of prior violations.
He has to.
He's got to be on double, triple secret probation, something.
This is like.
That makes no sense.
Josh Gordon's not going to get 2 years. No. Dude's been high since he was 4.
No, he'll be back game 8 this year.
2 years.
Yeah, he'll be
dismissed back. And disqualified.
That is unbelievable.
For drug related issues, like
for violating the terms of the NBA anti-drug program.
So it's got to be something stronger than.
Wait, all right. 2 years?
It's got to be.
Years.
It's got to be he's got to be trafficking this stuff. In order to get kicked out of the NBA for drugs, it's like you have to be trafficking it. He's Pablo Escobar.
Halftime, he's selling little bags.
I got these little bags room. Right here. Who wants some CBD? Who wants some CBD? I got this ointment right here. Who wants this ointment?
I'm sorry, that just seemed a little crazy.
Yeah, we got to dig into that. There's something more to that one. All right, this past hour has been brought to you by FW Web Company. We have a whole other hour to go. We're going to go close to a half an hour here, commercial free. We're going to give away another code so somebody can win something. Unbelievable. We'll get back to the Bruins. We'll get back to the latest with Anthony Davis. It's all coming up right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.